You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Make sure you try our Hey Man L. It's at every package store, for the most part. Kroger, Publix, you can find it. Mike, I'm a little winded today.
What's up?
Because I made my rounds. I got up this morning, and many of you have seen what's going on with the chicken wars. Chicken sandwich wars.
Yeah, I was late to the party on this one today. And what is this about? Because I guess it's Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, and now Zaxby's in? Explain this to me.
Well, listen, people are saying that we should allow Zaxby's in this thing. But as the competition, basically, it's Popeyes' new chicken sandwich, which is getting rave reviews.
And so they're coming right at Chick-fil-A.
Absolutely. And they're like, yo, we got the best chicken sandwich. And the tweets and the memes have been hilarious. And so all of a sudden, then Wendy's got involved, and somebody said earlier to me, you know, they should stay out of grown folks' conversation. But Wendy's jumped in and was like, you guys are talking about who the second best chicken sandwich is.
I gotta admit, the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's is pretty fundamentally sound.
Okay, so here's the deal. Today on this show, we will find out who's got the chicken sandwich. There is no bias. We've got a Chick-fil-A in the building. We know we're the home of Chick-fil-A.
Right.
But I made my rounds, Mike. I'm literally winded. As I made my way.
Hopefully you won't be breaking wind.
No. To Wendy's. I went to Popeyes. And I also went to Chick-fil-A today before the show. And
that's some serious market research.
Well, here's the deal. I'm like, listen, we got to get this resolved, okay? So we do things for the people on this program. So later on in the program, stay tuned. Bo and you will each do a blind test today.
Ooh.
You will not get a chance to know. Craig, I didn't have that much money.
Craig,
you
again,
will not get Craig, a chance to know what sandwich you're eating.
Probationary hire. You don't get to do this. But anyway, that's exciting, Carl. I can't wait. Love me some chicken. And I quite honestly, I like all of those.
I do too.
I love Popeyes. I mean, Chick-fil-A, everyone knows, has got the best service in the fast food industry. That's why you pay a little bit more, because they got the best people. You know, and as we know, Popeyes, sometimes you sacrifice a bit on the service end in the drive-thru wait to get that flavor.
Well, no, I know you go to the one right here on Ponce,
I
right?
go to the one down on Ponce, which is always kind of fun. But no, again, it's not their fault where they're located. It's kind of a zombie movie when you're sitting there waiting for your chicken. But, yeah, that's another one that, you know, I do love all things Popeyes. But then again, I got to be, has the Colonel, nothing on KFC? The Colonel isn't part of this competition?
No, and as I said, because Wendy's jumped in, I said I'm going to include Wendy's, but this is really about Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, and now Wendy's is in the mix. So we have those three sandwiches here today.
The old Wendy's in Buckhead, which is not there anymore, but the one that's up down by the Roxy. I used to live at that Wendy's when I lived up right off of Peachtree. And yeah, that spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's, that's no joke. But, I mean, how are you qualifying? Just a simple, basic, just a natural chicken flavor without the spice?
Absolutely.
Because Popeyes has no flavor to
it. Well, no additions, no enhancements, okay? I mean, if I handed you a chicken sandwich with no label on it on the street, and I said, tell me what you think and tell me where you think that's from, that's what I want. I want to get that opinion from you guys, because that's ultimately going to determine. If you spice it up and you add enhancements, it changes the taste of it. We'll do that a little bit later on in the program, guys. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, 929 The Game. That's the radio station. And, of course, that's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, A-A-T-L, and I'm at Put 'em Up, C. Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929, and if you want to see my journey today, it's out there on Twitter. We got a lot to talk about today, though, and we've got Darren Eales coming in studio next hour, president of our Atlanta United. A lot of people now, Mike, after this win in Seattle, or Portland, should I say, talking about our team in the same regard as they did last year. All of a sudden, now you've got people jumping on board and saying, oh, Atlanta United, well, maybe they do have a legitimate shot. I'm curious to know from Darren, and you know, we've talked about this transition from Frank DeBoer and Tata and all of that. But what's changed? What's changed?
I mean, if you take it back to everything and every time that you and I talk with Darren, and it was funny because if you hear the end of the show or the 6 o'clock hour, we were talking about the you know, the record. Why were we saying what we were saying when we were saying it? When we hadn't won until April 13th, you know, where we had a draw against Cincinnati. You know, we had some really ugly matches where we had all the possession but like no shots on goal. And then remember Darren Eales, and we'll credit Darren when Darren comes in studio. He kept preaching to us that it will come. This is a new system and all these things. And the guys are on, you know, Pity's not 100%. This guy's injured. That guy's injured. The compressed schedule. And we were like, look, we don't want to give excuses. We don't give excuses to the Falcons. We don't give excuses to the Braves or the Hawks. But truth be told, things have come together in a way which I don't think, you know, only the hardiest of United fans who didn't doubt Frank DeBoer for a minute. It's really starting to turn out, Carl, because we look like one of the best teams in the league. We are the team with experience, and now the rest of the teams in the East, they got to come through us if we can hold on to this first-place spot.
That's the thing. We can't let up. Orlando is hungry to beat us, guys. We beat them, you know, recently at their place, which they hyped up as the biggest match ever, and now we've got to go back down there. So it's not that like this is going to be easy on Friday, but I'm curious to see what Darren has to say about the development and where this has gone from, you know, even a month or so ago, because to me it looks like a completely different team. We'd love to hear from you on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Our Braves are back in action tonight as well. Marlins come into town. We win 4 of 6 from the Mets and the Dodgers. Okay, so you know what? This is a series we should sweep. And that's not, again, hyperbole or overdoing it. The Marlins are not good. And we said this, Mike, coming into this series with the Dodgers. The Dodgers went down there and just beat the snot out of the Marlins.
Right.
This is a series in which, you know, if we are who we think we are, then we should beat up on these guys. And, again, Dallas Keuchel back on the hill. I know that you have not been necessarily pleased with everything that you've seen from Dallas Keuchel.
Well, I mean, I just expected more. You know what I mean? This is a guy that was holding out, and we thought that, okay, you know, somebody's going to step up. We thought we might probably get outbid by the Yankees or, you know, the Red Sox or whoever was going to be in the bid for a starter. But, you know, once he got here, I'm not seeing what he said he was going to offer, which is, look, if I don't go 7 innings, I feel like I'm not doing my job. And there's been some real lackluster performances, to be quite honest. So just looking for more. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's not what I expected, right? Is that fair?
It is fair. And, you know, the other thing is, here's a guy that has postseason experience. When you look at our staff right now and you go, oh, well, that's the guy I'm going to count on. You pick the guy with postseason experience, not Soroka, not Fried, not because we don't like him, but just because they haven't been in these big moments.
And everybody has a bad day, but Dallas Keuchel, with the expectations if he has a bad day, shouldn't get shelled by the Marlins. And that was, you know, an outing which we all kind of scratched our head over. But if and when we win the division and we're rolling and we get into these big and obviously these close games, this is when I'm going to expect him to be the war horse with the guy to everything you just said, experience with the Astros, pitching in big games, winning those big games. But right now, just give me some quality starts and let's take the pressure off the bullpen, even though the bullpen is finally turning the corner. Fingers this close. But maybe, can you give me 7 full innings? Can anyone in the world give us 7 full innings?
I hope. And again, we're not putting extra pressure on Dallas Keuchel. This is what the expectation should be. And then the bullpen, to be honest with you, we said this. Have we found the formula? You know, Brian Snicker, our manager, going to go with this formula of what we saw Sunday. And I'll stay with Sunday because Saturday it was Newcomb and, you know, he's going to be in the mix. But are we going to see, Mike, in this particular order, Chris Martin, Shane Green in the 8th, and right. then Mark Melancon in the 9th and kind of shut the door? If these guys are pitching up to par like we've seen at least the last few times that they've come out of the bullpen, then I feel a lot better than I did 2 weeks ago. You know, they're up to, I think, 7 or 8 appearances each. First 5 for each one of those guys was not good. I mean, they came out, they got shelled.
Right.
So hopefully it's a lot better as we get this series started with the Marlins.
As we said yesterday, it's not how we kind of expected it, but 3 good outings now for Shane Green without putting anybody on base, although we want to see him doing that in the 9th. And perhaps by the time we roll in October, he will be the bona fide closer. But for now, Melancon is doing it. And I guess I don't know if that's the guaranteed way it's going to finish. I do think Snicker's going to continue to experiment with it. But if Shane Green can keep on putting up those good-looking innings, then let's get him back there where he should be, out of the bullpen of the ninth.
All right, we still have a lot of conversation about our Falcons as well. Guys, Thursday, I said it yesterday, I'll say it today, I'll say it tomorrow, I'll say it Thursday. It's a big week. We got things we have to get figured out. And, Mike, here's the thing. With the injuries on the O-line, do you think that we can get it figured out? Because – you know, there are some things probably after this game on Thursday against the Redskins, we still will have our head, you know, scratching our heads. We still won't know for sure because of the injury situation.
Well, that's the rub, man. I mean, we talked about it yesterday for those who missed the show. Caleb McGarry, the sooner he can get ready to roll and start hitting people, the better. Because this is the guy that you and I, we could not wait to see. Remember, 5 weeks of preseason to see McGarry, you know, just, you know, proving that he belongs at right tackle over Sombrello. You know that all coaches, and look, we saw it in college this week, everybody knew Jalen Hurts was going to be the quarterback at Oklahoma. Everybody knew Justin Fields was going to be the quarterback at Ohio State. But coaches and Dan Quinn's one of them. Well, we're gonna have a competition. Okay, again, Ty Sombrello looks like he's on roller skates, and Caleb McGarry is a rookie. I'd rather see him up against the Vikings and the Eagles. Unfortunately, because of the Hurts situation, we won't get to do that. Yeah. I mean, I just can't wait for this kid to get in, prove he deserves and belongs to be at that right tackle, and then just get out there and start whooping people.
Yeah, and here's the thing that we don't know, and this is Mike cheering him on, and certainly Falcon fans as well. We don't know what the adjustment period's going to be. Like, Caleb McGarry could be really good, but because of this delayed situation of getting him back on the field, he could be really good, but, Mike, we may not see that until week 10. Like, seriously, like, where you start to see, okay, he's owning this, he gets the assignments, he knows where he's supposed to be. It's one thing being a physical specimen and playing the game. It's another when you know, Mike, where you're supposed to be and things slow down.
Right. Now, on the flip side, you know, we always make this about McGarry. Hey, Ty Sombrello, to quote Al Pacino for any given Sunday, where's your pride, Sombrello? They're talking about a rookie who's never even started game one in the NFL, like your yesterday's news. Hoo-ah. So if Sombrello has some pride when he's dragging that Gillette across his face, look at the man in the mirror and say, I am the starting right tackle. We'll prove it. Do something right on Thursday.
Do something. Hey, man, we also are going to talk some plenty of college football today. The AP Top 25 is out. We didn't really get a chance to talk about this yesterday, so we'll dive into it. The Dogs ranked as high as they've been ranked, Mike, since the mid-2000s. What's that say about Georgia heading into this season? And, you know, again, the past is not the present. The past was Mark Richt's teams that always were highly touted and ranked high failed.
They always seemed to, under the weight of expectations, yes, they would come up short.
I mean, and that doesn't mean they weren't good teams, but they couldn't finish.
The season, Carl, will cut you off, 07, they lose to Tennessee that year. And a game which inexplicably they fall. That's where they wind up with the booby prize of smoking Hawaii in the Sugar Bowl. And that was a team that was a legitimate national contender. But unfortunately, that's just like last year. You know, I mean, they just find a way, a game that you didn't really expect maybe to trip up. They did. Last year it was LSU. And we all know that with this new system, we're trying to figure out what the moving target is. But you can't have two losses against your best teams, your best opponents, as a resume builder. It's just not. They got one margin for error. They got one loss, presumably to beat Alabama in another SEC championship rematch. But, Carl, even there, if you lose to Notre Dame, you know, I mean, that the optics on that would be pretty awful. Because we all don't respect Notre Dame, but everyone else around the country still believes they're the bee's knees.
And if they come into Athens, you're right, and win – I mean, say what you want. That's a huge road win and resume builder for them. We will get into the top 25 and what it means and some quarterback conversation along the way. It is Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. Sarah Walker says, Dukes, I'm too invested into this. What time are you doing this? I'm in and out of my vehicle. 420. We will do the blind taste test.
I got to be honest. I had a T-bone for lunch. That's all pure protein. Kind of hungry right now. I mean, it's kind of.
Blind taste test.
I gotta go for some chicken right about now, man.
420. And by the way, sales, we love Popeyes, Mike Bell. We love Wendy's. We love Chick-fil-A. All right. And Zaxby's, too, but we didn't include them in this. Zaxby hit me up, Mike, and they said, do it for science. Hey, we're coming back. 420, that's all going down. When we come back, we'll hit some headlines next. It is Dukes and Bell. I don't want to disparage any one of our competitors today, as we will have a chicken sandwich war showdown at 420. But the Popeyes line, Mike, was very long.
It always is.
I wonder what was going on, and then I get up there. You got to go to my Twitter and see what happened.
We on Windy Hill?
Yes.
That's the longest one. That's the longest Popeyes line in Atlanta.
Now you guys tell me. So literally, I'm like, what is going on? Like, how long do you wait, right? And I
how bad you want it?
Well, a guy, and I had we had to do this today because we do it for the people. But I had a guy literally, I thought he was trying to cut in front of me in the drive-thru line. So, you know, I'm like, so I roll my window and I'm like, hey! He's like, I'm just cutting through, man. I can't wait in line.
Right.
I'm like, okay, go ahead.
I'm trapped.
Yeah, but a guy asked me how long did I wait. And again, I'm not disparaging any of the competition. This is about chicken. This is about who has the best sandwich, right? Or at least in our minds.
But that's that's the great debate. You know you love the Popeyes. I'm a big Popeyes guy.
You waited.
But if you go just, you know, 500 feet the other way, they got a drive through. They run the drive through at the Windy Hill Chick-fil-A like the USS Nimitz launching F-18s.
Next.
I mean, it's they got people with the little thingies in their hand, and they get the order, and it's like military precision, and Popeye's not so much.
Yeah. The Chick-fil-A, the young lady that I came up on, because, you know, at lunchtime they have those individuals out there, she was great. I filmed her, and I told her what we were doing, and so I asked her who had the best chicken sandwich. That's also on the Twitter as well. All right, man, that's coming up at 4:20. But I wanted to put that out there because some people are like, I can't wait that long.
Okay. But that's the thing. Like, when you know me, when I get a hunker and a craving, you know, there's nothing worse. Like, you know, when you go, like, I'll be at Popeyes, invariably on Ponce.
Yeah, we're on a 10-minute wait for spicy.
Son of a biscuit! You know? And then it's like, well, if it ain't spicy, it ain't me. So I got to wait. So then I'm just going to, you know, all right, I'll kick it.
I did.
Put the top down, talk to some of the zombies, see what's going down.
if they talk back. I did attempt to eat a two-piece on my way here. I'm not going to lie to you. And it should be illegal.
Too many crumbs, man.
Well, yeah, and it's the
first. If you're
first,
like me, the car is, you know, you got to keep the car clean, by the way.
The first bite, and here was the deal. I've been to all these damn places this morning, right? I went to Chick-fil-A, I go to Wendy's, and I'm in the car, so I order the chicken sandwiches for the sandwich war. And literally, she goes, you want anything else? I go, two-piece spicy, please. And so I put that to the side, and literally in my head, I'm going, I'm not going to touch that till I get to the station. I'm not going to eat that till I get to work. Damn, I think I'm going to try just a little bit. I'm going to try one bite. And I had one, yes, Mike, right, one
right,
bite.
Right.
And I'm swerving, and I'm like, you really shouldn't be eating a two-piece spicy while you're trying to drive. It should be illegal.
Right. Oh, by the way, the Colonel's not in this competition, right?
Kate? No.
All right.
No.
No, because I told that story driving to the Indy 500 one year, and I had the dome light on, and I got, like, the Colonel, and I'm eating the chicken, and I got my elbows on the steering wheel. I got the dome light on, and I'm sitting there, and I'm obviously, I must have been crossing the line on 65, and all of a sudden, I look over. There's a Kentucky State Trooper. He hits his dome light. He lights up the top. I look over. I'm like, and he's staring at me, and I go, I take the chicken. I put it down. I put one hand on the wheel. He's still looking at me. I put the second hand on the wheel. He gives me the thumbs up, wow, and takes off.
Oh.
You know, but yeah, I mean, some things you just got to pull over and eat. Fried chicken, there's things you cannot eat while driving.
And I found myself, here's the other part, you know, because you get grease on your fingers. And then I'm like, and next thing you know, there's no hands on the wheel.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I can't do this. So
and
I had to put
I'm so anal
down.
With the car, then I got to go armor all everything I just touched.
I know.
Because I can't keep the car clean.
But I got to be honest. It was delicious. That first bite, boy. Good God.
All right, so 4:20, Chicken Wars. It's Popeyes, Chick-fil-A,
yep.
And Wendy's.
Wendy's has all jumped right. in the conversation. All right, man. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, you can go to Twitter and check that conversation out. We do have our order as Randy McMichael at noon today. I happened to be driving around getting this stuff, and I heard them select our draft order, Mike, for our Fantasy Football Summit. Now, if you're not familiar or don't know what we're talking about, you guys can get expert advice. It's a panel discussion, mock draft, which Mike and I will be a part of. Not together as a show. They've separated us. But this is John Freaky. Wendy is going to be a part of this. Knox Bardeen. Thomas Mott. That's Hot Take Tommy.
Also, Hot Take Tommy's going to be there. He's ready to drop the hammer.
Brian Gephardt. So Big Hugh is a part of this. But it's going down August 24th from noon till 3. All right? So that's this Saturday. Buckhead location of Twin Peaks. And we are, as Mike said, we're going to have the entire upstairs, but you're also going to get a chance to hear from some of our experts that are going to be a part of this. Liz Loza, Brian Baldinger, Brad Evans, who came on the show last week, Yahoo Sports. He was great with fantasy, and we know a lot of you are into fantasy and play. So for more information, go to our website at 929thegame.com. But Mike Bell, you have the second overall pick.
Yeah, so presuming that Freaky will go with Saquon Barkley with the first overall pick, Team Freaky. Selects Patrick Mahomes. No, I mean, that's going to be some curveballs and some monkeys.
Y.A. Tittle? I'm sorry? What'd you say?
With the first pick, Team Freaky selects John Brody, quarterback. let's assume he's going safe. So I presume that we're going to go.
Sorry.
Selects kicker slash quarterback George Blanda. No, we're going to go with, I guess we go with Kamara or McCaffrey. If I'm picking two, it's got to be, it's really just how you likes the Saints and you think Kamara is going to gobble up those touches. Is this a PPR league? Points per reception? What kind of vibe are we going
on? No one said anything. I don't know. I have no idea. Either way, we'll figure it out when we get there. But we've got our draft order. So I'm picking sixth.
Okay,
overall.
Now that's interesting. Now would you go, oh, wow, because now you got all sorts of interesting combinations. You got to go wide receiver. You're going to go Juju. You know, you're going to go, you could actually take a flight. Now, some people, depends. For those who are not familiar with fantasy football, PPR, points per reception, the league that Carl and I play in, the Shenanigans League, that's a flex league where you got a running back slash wide receiver at the flex spot. And then you have the PPR, which, again, points. You got a guy that catches the ball out of the backfield. That's very handy. So that's very interesting for you at six.
Right? Yeah. Big Hugh Douglas is upset. He's picking 10th. And I've already seen the complaints from here.
By the way, first off, I think 10 is a money spot. And if you're on the turn is where you want to be. You get two. You get your wide receiver and you get your running back. The turn is the good spot.
Now, if I was you, I'd take a defense there.
I pick second. I don't pick again. Carl, I don't pick again for 18 picks if I'm picking second. So to me, anytime you're on the back end, 9, 10 on a 10 team, man, you can go bananas on that.
I'm with you. I've always liked the 9 or 10 spot. In this particular situation. So that's going to happen on Saturday.
What do you think about six, though? What do you think?
Well, it depends on which way the direction of the draft is going. Because, like you said, I mean, are you going to pull a one out of your hat here and go a direction that nobody's thinking about?
But here's the thing, and we'll be talking about fantasy football guys through the course of the season. But if you are the guy that wants to take Patrick Mahomes in the second or third round, if you're in a 14-team league, it sounds great. But then you're dead in the water because you're going to lose. You're going to be totally out of sequence on your running backs, your wide receiver. Same thing if you take Travis. Everyone loves Kelsey because he's going to generate so many points. But to me, sometimes you save that quarterback for the fifth round. That's tried and true. And sometimes you can get away with it by going even later and then beefing up that running back production, man. But again, we'll see how wackadoodle it gets coming up on Saturday. Get down there early, man. It kicks off around 12. We'll be opening the doors at 11 upstairs at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
All right, guys. We got plenty more to get to, including our conversation about college football, the top 25. AP poll is out. Craig behind the glass, our engineer. Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's hear from Dan Quinn, our head football coach, talking about the individual matchups. Remember my quote, the L's, the W's don't matter. What we do individually in these preseason games do. You're getting beat up. That's a problem. Coach Quinn.
Starting to kind of gear, the program up of who's doing what and then the matchups, who we want to see more of in this week's games and different roles. And there'll even be some plays designed for certain people to see how, they respond and how they match up. That's one of the things I do love about the preseason is finding, okay, here's some man-to-man ops to see how this guy guards somebody. Here's, a shot down the field. Here's, the run game to this side. It's, very much about evaluating the guys.
Yeah, so we've got some guys to watch. And obviously we're going to focus on those guys as we get closer to Thursday. Mike and I don't think it's any secret. We want to see what this O-line is going to look like. And, Mike, this is a big game for Gono in case he has to go.
Right. We talked about Matt Gono. We've talked about the depth all week at the tackle position. Presumably Carpenter's going to get better with that hip injury. Jamon Brown penciled in as your left guard starter. Lindstrom's one of the guys, as we said. It's Alex Mack, Jake Matthews. Lindstrom, the guys, 1, 2, 3, you probably feel most confident, even though Lindstrom's a rookie. He has looked the part. Look, and as Carl pointed out in the first segment, all these guys that are rookies are going to have a moment where, you saw it the other day. Quinnen Williams, there's a rookie who's such a force of nature. He looks like the next Aaron Donald. So there'll be some guys out there, especially in that Eagles and the Vikings games. Eagles in week two, Vikings week one, where, Lindstrom's going to have a whoops. Look out, Matt.
Look out.
Hopefully you're going to minimize those. I'm just afraid there'll be more of those coming from Tyler Sombrello.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. More on the Falcons coming up here on the program. Brian Snicker, our manager, as we start a series with the Marlins tonight at SunTrust. As we mentioned, Dallas Keuchel on the heel. The one big thing that I like from Alex Anthopoulos is, and we've said this, he's not set on his hands. He continues to try to improve the team. I know the Braves make a move yesterday, and people were going, Mike, what is this about? I don't understand. Listen, we need depth, and Brian Snicker talked about it.
Our organization's done a really good job this year, I think, of having major league-ready guys in AAA, and that's huge. They did a really good job of identifying and getting guys like that to play in AAA. And this time of year, and we get those kind of guys that have been here and know the routine, so to speak, and that's really good. So it's really good overall organizational depth.
Now, when we talk about what's going on with our team, first of all, if you missed it yesterday, and you might have, The big news was that the Braves are going to have the protective netting now from foul pole to foul pole. Mm-hmm. And it happened later in the show. Mike and I discussed it. Bottom line is, even if you're against it, and Mike, a lot of guys, we're with you on this, saying, right. Dukes, I don't like this idea, but this is the new reality of what's going on around baseball. Now, every team has the choice to do this in their home park. The Braves have made that decision. Not everybody in Major League Baseball is on board. That's why you've not seen it across the country.
Right. And as we said, it's kind of like so many things these days, it's almost a generational thing. People that, you know, watch games without the netting, we feel that you can have enough hand-eye coordination. Some people say that's preposterous, and you're taking your life in your own hands if you're sitting anywhere from the on-deck circle on out. They've already moved the nets to the end of the dugout, so this is just a logical, you know, continuation of that because, you know, whether it's a one-hopper or it's just a line drive off the end of the bat. And again, it's there's always people out there who will say, I don't need the nets, I'm one of them. But there's so many people that have kids that want to be able to sit close to the action and not worry about that or be on their phone or, you know, dipping dots, whatever. It's just kind of an ADD society, so you got to protect the fans. And that's – I'm done arguing with it. I've rolled over on this. I accept it. I hate it, but I accept it, Carl.
Yeah, we also – the Braves, that is, picked up outfielder Billy Hamilton. Everybody was like, we need him to run against the freeze. he's very fast.
Right.
He steals bases. A defensive – you know, a substitution maybe late in games as well, Mike.
Yeah, like we like to say around this show, he runs like a deer, and lately he's hit like a deer. So we'll see if he can turn things around. But he is a Carl, as they say back in the day, he's a speed merchant.
Jeez. Hey, man.
Now, we wouldn't say that. Cheesy old radio play-by-play guys would say it. No, he's a speed merchant.
By the way, the rookies in the NBA, I mentioned this late yesterday in the program, have picked Cam Reddish to have the best NBA career. It's only a big deal because Cam plays for our Atlanta Hawks. And Zion has all the hype, and I think Zion's going to have a great career. But it's interesting to see their peers decide who they think is going to have the best overall career. Huh. I hope he's right. I hope they're right. Hey, coming up, what's it mean for Georgia to be top three in the AP poll? We'll talk about it next. We were just looking at some of the guys that cover the Raiders. The Raiders. And reports out there, I just retweeted it, Mike, that Antonio Brown, the Raiders are going through their stretching. Tonight, remember, it's Hard Knocks. I think it's episode 3, I believe.
That's correct.
They stretched, and then all of a sudden, guys went on the field to do their stuff, and Antonio Brown went to the weight room. Because of what Mike Conte just mentioned, which is filing another grievance with the NFL. I'm over this, bro. I'm over this.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Mayock came out and said, look, you know, it's like almost like either you're with us or you're against us. You know, it's like, let's go. It's time to poop or get off the pot. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, the guy, and, you know, it just, it gets to the point where we want to be politically correct and say all that. Just stop acting like a jackass, okay? Stop acting like a petulant child. You know, the bigger names than you, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, have all gotten along with their lives with a new helmet. Just get on with it. I mean, and now it's almost like because he's such a wackadoodle, this thing is going to become a thing where he's like, you know, I don't feel the same without my helmet. You know what I mean? Without his lucky helmet.
Right.
It's hard to get your head around his head. Pardon the pun there. There's no pun. It's ridiculous.
It is. I said it yesterday when we talked about, you know, that game where, you know, Brown is open. He's deep. And then he drops the ball. And all of a sudden it's, well, you know, I couldn't see if it wasn't for this helmet. I don't know where this goes, Mike. And I'm not saying that could play out or could not. But for me, everybody's dealing with this. You know, everybody hates change, right? It's just what it is. But eventually you get used to it. And for me, he's the only guy griping. And when you said it, other stars in this league, he's the only guy griping. And some people are saying, well, Dukes, this is just for Hard Knocks. Really? So this is going to end when Hard Knocks goes away?
Yeah, it just – I mean, and plus if you're Gruden, you know, you got a lot of things you need to try to get going with this thing because your defense is abysmal. We've talked about the Raiders, one of the worst defenses in the league last year. And they're going to try to, you know, do what we did in 16 with the way they drafted. Although you could argue that, you know, the way Mayock went early with the defensive end from Clemson, everyone thought would go like 18. We'll see about how quickly they get after the quarterback. But I still think that, you know, Antonio Brown is part of what, you know, could be a real, if they can block, a pretty decent offense. You know, they got a decent running back they picked up from Alabama. You added another wide receiver along with Antonio Brown. I mean, they've got some weapons there. I mean, Carr, I know a lot of people would shrug when they hear Derek Carr's name at this point. But, you know, back in 16, the same year we went to the Super Bowl, he had the Raiders in a position to go deep. Then he got injured, and their season ended in Houston.
Yeah. We were talking about our fantasy football draft, guys, our summit that's going on Saturday. And Mike has the second overall pick, Randy McMichael. Randomly, by the way, Hugh Douglas, selected the order. And so Mike is second, and I'm picking sixth. But Mike was like, who are you going to take? And so we were talking about this. Speaking of Antonio Brown, when do you roll the dice on him, Mike? When do you roll the dice on a guy that arguably is good for 10 touchdowns and, you know, 1,500 yards, right, you know, every year?
All right, let's go with the – let's start with, you know, like a Jeopardy. I'll take unknowns for 200, Alex. All right, where do you go with Ezekiel Elliott first? You're still taking him top 10 and saying that Jerry's going to cave and give him the money?
I still feel that way. I just do. And even if it's week one where we get to week one and people are still freaking out, I just feel like that's going
to
happen.
Melvin Gordon, we talked to our buddy Scott Kaplan.
He's not getting it.
He covers the Chargers, and now, of course, Chargers are in Los Angeles. But our buddy Scotty was saying he thinks that Melvin Gordon's going to go. He's going to do the Le'Veon Bell. He thinks he's not going to play.
So
you don't. You know, Melvin Gordon would be a guy you'd take in the second round.
Yeah, a friend of mine said that he ran into some friends of Melvin Gordon. Now, again, I don't know how accurate this report is, but basically, they're like $2 million away. Melvin Gordon wanted 12, mm-hmm. is what he told his boys, and this is a message they told me. And the team was like, we'll give you 10. So for $2 million, you're going to sit out the entire season.
Well, Spanos begot the next Spanos, who's as cheap as his dad. So they're not probably going to buckle, if you know the Chargers. They're cheap as a day. They're kind of like the West Coast Browns.
So, but Mike, the going rate, and the only reason I these numbers matter is 12 doesn't sound like, it's not a lot, is it? I mean, it is. But it's not what Ezekiel Elliott's going to get.
No, but when you look at his numbers, he's not the guy that does like the. I mean, the he'll have rushing yards, but he has a lot of things catching the football out of the backfield in that offense of theirs. You know, if you're Phillip Rivers, you're sitting there like tapping your toe, like, you know, that's the light in my corner of my eye, which is my career winding down. Okay, I've got to have all hands on deck if the Chargers are going to try to go back to the playoffs. Remember last year they took it as far as they should have last year against the Patriots. But yeah, man. So then you throw in Antonio Brown. Where do you pick him up?
I don't know. That's why I'm looking at this. We were talking about it off air, and I just said, all right, under normal circumstances, meaning if Brown was in camp and, you know, things were rolling and you felt like, okay, him and Carr have this connection, whatever. Julio and Matt are a different deal. They played together now, 8 years or whatever it is, 9 years? This is the first season that Derek Carr and Antonio Brown are going to play together.
Right.
And maybe we're going to find out how good Big Ben was. Maybe we're about to find out how good Ben Roethlisberger was with this guy, and particularly how good he's been in his career. I don't know what to expect. Is Derek Carr going to throw 35, 40 touchdowns this year? You know, do you foresee that? I don't know what to believe right now with that offense. And we've said it. Defensively, they got issues, so they're going to have to score points.
Right.
And, you know, if you're a team playing the Raiders, what are you doing? You're taking Antonio Brown out of the game. You are doubling him anytime you get a chance.
But as you said, for the fantasy implications, we just talked about Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown. Now, at least Antonio Brown's on a roster right now. Then you throw in a guy like Todd Gurley, who was always a guaranteed lock top five pick, and now I don't think guys touch Todd Gurley to the late second round.
Yeah.
I mean, you know there's going to be a pitch count on Todd Gurley. You just know it. And he's only going to give him those touches in the red zone. So how high would you go on Gurley?
Gurley is
early second? See, that's a great
– limited touches.
All the mock drafts, and you know I'm a dork. I do a lot of them. I've stayed away from Gurley. And I go – I go early on a guy like Joe Mixon. You know, we've already talked about, you know, like John Connor with the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the guys who are going to have production. And you know they're there and they're on the team. And they're happy with their helmet. And they had good seasons last year.
I think Nick Chubb, last thing, and then we'll jump into this AP Top 25 thing. More on the NFL Blitz coming up here in less than 10 minutes. I think Nick Chubb's going to have a better year than Gurley. Call me crazy.
I think so, too.
I think they're going to rely on Nick Chubb a lot there and take a lot of pressure off of Baker Mayfield. Speaking of Baker, 10 minutes. Find out what he has recently said. All right, Mike, what does it mean for the Dogs to be in the Top 25? More importantly, the Top 3. You've got Clemson, Alabama, and then Georgia. AP Top 25 poll is out, followed by Oklahoma and the Ohio State at 5. LSU, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas round out the top 10. With this expectation, you know everybody's gunning for the Dogs. You know you're going to get everybody's best game. Can the Dogs get back to Atlanta and play in the SEC championship?
Right. I mean, we've talked about the, you know, the Notre Dame game has no bearing on your SEC schedule. That's about impressing the college football playoff committee. You know, the game, which still I look at Texas A&M, are they going to be for real or are they going to be fading? You know, I think the Jimbo's turned a corner, but I'm not sure they have the horses to go toe-to-toe with Georgia in Athens. That's a big one. To me, it's the Florida game. And not that people are excited at Florida that Felipe Franks is the quarterback, but he was named, and it was kind of a done deal anyway. But Felipe Franks is going to be your starting quarterback, with Michael P. Ryan, your starting running back.
Yep.
And they've got weapons on defense, you know? And if Franks can keep it together, then it's a much closer game. He had a couple of passes. If he makes it, you know, you're rolling if you're Florida. It's a much tighter game. Georgia, they hung until the second half, then Georgia blew them out.
So Alabama SEC, Georgia SEC, LSU SEC, Florida SEC. Texas A&M is 12 to start in the AP poll. That's six of the 12 SEC teams. And we already know Georgia sees A&M later in the season. Now, Mike, their schedule is brutal. They may be beaten up by the time they come to Athens, but this is the power of the SEC. Six of the top 12 to start the AP, which means this usually mirrors what we see in the college football poll that comes out early November. By then, a lot of stuff will have played out. But, guys, that's the strength of this conference.
And LSU. I mean, luckily, you know, if you're Georgia, you're not seeing LSU this year. That's the thing. Is this the year that, you know, hey, give me some Coach O. Coach O, you got the horses this year?
Oh, yeah, of course we do.
So let's see you do it, man. Haven't beat Alabama since Bush was in the White House.
Well, we're working on it. Go Tigers.
So let's hope that happens for you. Meanwhile, Auburn, and maybe not the way to start the season because Oregon is in the top 11. You know, Auburn is in the top 25, but Oregon.
That's a tough way to start.
Yeah, with Herbert at quarterback, who's going to be a Heisman candidate. He came back to Oregon. We keep talking about Washington, but maybe Oregon under Mario Cristobal gets it together.
Is that game, Mike, is that game next weekend, that Oregon-Auburn game?
Yeah, that's Jerry
right?
World. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's Labor Day weekend. Yeah, because this weekend we've got college football.
Yeah, I was reading the Tallahassee Democrat today. I was getting all excited about Florida State.
Really? You're not excited? They can win their first one.
I haven't found the quarterback just yet. So
what do you mean? He's a quarterback whisperer.
Well, you know what? You might want to be a quarterback shouter because I don't think the whispering isn't working down in Tally. They're not even in the top 25. But more on Georgia guys coming at 4 o'clock, including how much nickel you're going to see the Dogs in this year because of the passing nature of the SEC.
LSU has, I think, the best safety in the country in Grant Delpit. You hadn't seen him? Don't know who he is? He's already a preseason All-American candidate, Mike. He'll be a top 10 pick in the draft in the spring. Really good. LSU, if you don't do it this year, I don't know when I don't know. I mean, they changed the offense. They got all this stuff working.
Right.
We'll get more into it at 4 o'clock. Coming up next, it's our NFL Blitz segment on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.